So last week, we really took a look at how really you and I have a bit of a shallow understanding, a very one to two dimensional understanding of what the cross really is, what the cross really represents. Because truth be told, most of us look at the cross, we look at what Jesus did on the cross, being crucified for us, as really two things: the forgiveness of my sin and the life insurance policy that I get to cash in on when I die. We've minimized the power of the cross to being life insurance. And if we treat it only like life insurance, if we treat it only like the forgiveness of our sins, then the benefit really doesn't come to you and I until when? After we die. Why would something so earth-changing, so humanity-changing, so heaven and earth moving only really mean two things? And why would I only be able to access them when I leave this life? The cross is so much more. It's more than just forgiveness. It's more than life insurance. Jesus would say, and we looked at this verse last week in John chapter 8, 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so Jesus is telling us that the more we know about him, the more revelation we have of him and what he did on the cross for us, then the more freedom is accessible to us. How many of you can use a little more freedom in your life? And so he's saying, listen, if you could just grab, the more that you begin to dig, if you realize there's so much more to the cross, there's more freedom that is accessible to you. You heard me say this statement last week. You've heard what you don't know won't hurt you, but I would throw for your consideration this morning that what you don't know also won't heal you. What you don't know won't hurt you, but what you don't know won't heal you. There's so much more power in the cross. And the reason why I can tell you that we have a little bit of a shallow understanding, even at the church at large today, is because we only preach the cross once a year. If the cross really meant something huge to us, we wouldn't just preach it at Easter. We wouldn't just talk about it one time a year, but it would literally permeate all of our conversations. We believe that the cross can heal cancer, but it can't heal my heart. We believe that the cross can cure any kind of life-threatening disease, but it can't heal my marriage. There's so much more depth to the cross. Really, the verse that we've been honing in on, furthering this, Paul would actually tell us, you think you know, but you have no idea. 1 Corinthians 1, 18, and then verses 22 to 24 would say this: for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Verse 22, Jews demanded signs, Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentile, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Paul would be writing to the Corinthian church in the context of scripture right now, but really it's accessible and it applies to you and I today. He's saying, listen, if you think you've even begun to scratch the surface, if you think your brain could really wrap around the full dimension of the cross, you're actually foolish. And whatever areas of the cross that you don't have an understanding of its power, you're foolish. He's saying there's so much more. The church at large has at times has tried to define the dimensions and the depth to the cross. You've heard maybe if you've been in church for any extended period of time about the fourfold gospel, about how he's the savior and the sanctifier, he's the healer, he's the soon coming king. There was a guy that tried to take the cross and to put it into four bullet points. But can I tell you this morning, there's so much more than that. It's much more than the fourfold gospel. It's much more than the hundredfold gospel. There are so many more dimensions. Much like a diamond has 58 facets, there's 58 facets to a diamond. And the more facets that it has, the more beautiful and more valuable it becomes. So the more revelation and the more understanding and the more unpacking of the power of the cross that we do, the more beauty it unfolds in our lives and the more valuable it becomes to us. See, the cross isn't made to just be put in a box and to decorate our homes on and to tattoo on our bodies and put on a bumper sticker. No, friend, there is power today in the cross for you. That goes past your salvation, that goes past forgiveness. And I'm thankful for those things. But there's so much more that the cross represents. So last week, I threw for your consideration, kind of had a bit of an open discussion about let's look at the cross in maybe a different light than you've looked before. Because ultimately, what sent Jesus to the cross? What ultimately crucified Jesus? What killed Jesus? On the fundamental human element side of things, what sent Jesus to the cross was betrayal. Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas betrays Jesus, which leads him to the cross, which ultimately leads to his death. Betrayal killed Jesus. On a fundamental standpoint, that's what took place. And so what does this say to you and I? Well, we would know if you've read scripture that the things that Christ endured, we will also endure. So what does that mean? Every single one of us in this room has been betrayed. Every single one of us in this room will be betrayed. And every time that we're betrayed, something in us will die. It'll make us less loving, less forgiving. We'll have less joy in our life. We'll be less trusting. We lose our confidence when we're betrayed. That's why the writer of Hebrews, in my favorite chapter of the Bible, which is Hebrews 12, he would say, think of all the hostility that he endured, that Jesus endured, and you won't become weary and you won't give up. Jesus went to the cross. He endured the cross, and the cross killed him. Betrayal killed him. And so betrayal kills something in us. But it wasn't enough that he was killed by betrayal, but then he was also abandoned. So all of us in our lives, we're guaranteed to be betrayed, and betrayal will kill something in us. We're guaranteed to be abandoned in that moment, and abandonment forces us to make a choice, to stay dead or to resurrect. Our cross experience, the betrayal, the abandonment, it creates wounds in our lives. There was wounds that ultimately led to the betrayal and the killing of Jesus. So I want you just to imagine Jesus on the cross. He's hanging there. He's beaten. He's wounded. He didn't just die because of betrayal, but there was a suffering that took place. The prophet Isaiah would prophesy about this in Isaiah 53. Maybe you've heard this verse before. Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 5 would say this. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, everybody say wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so Isaiah would tell us, he would foreshadow, he would prophesy this. Not only was he going to be crucified, but he was going to be wounded. There was going to be a suffering that would take place. And truth be told, between you and I, when we're betrayed and when we begin to die, we begin to be wounded and we find ourselves suffering. We find ourselves with this traumatic experience that doesn't just hit the one area we were hit in, but it begins to permeate all the other areas of our lives. Have you realized that? That it's not just enough. Like, you wish you could just compartmentalize it and put it in the box of being betrayed at work. In that death that you feel. And you'd love to keep it there. But what you realize, truth be told, when we're hurt and when we're betrayed and when we're abandoned and when wounds hit us, what begins to happen? We begin to bleed everywhere that we go. We carry that hurt back into our homes. We carry that hurt back into our jobs. We carry that hurt back into our relationships. There was a wound that took place. Because I'm convinced, you've heard me talk about this before, I think the devil is way more smarter than you and I give him credit for. Can I take it a step further? The devil knows more scripture than you do. So that's how he begins to attack us. That's how he begins to come. He knows what his word says is true. And so what is it? He comes, the Bible says he's the father of lies. He doesn't originate anything. He perverts everything. And so these wounds that we carry, so because he's so smart, much smarter than you and I would ever give him credit for, this is what he does at times. When he can't kill you, he'll wound you. When he can't kill you, he'll wound you. Now, why? Why wound you? Let me just give you just a mental picture here for a second. How do you take out an army? How do I take out an army of people from taking territory? See, there are bullets that are designed to kill instantly. But if I've got a bullet that'll at least wound you, if I can wound one, I'll take out five. Yeah. Because not only did I just wound the one, but I took out four others, so now go take care of them. Yeah. And so if he can wound you, he knows he can take out four others because there's gonna be four others who are gonna come to tend to the wound. That's the way that he fights us. That's the way that he comes after us. That's the way that these betrayals and these abandonments can feel in our lives, because the wound can destroy the man, but it distracts the army. It distracts the army. When we're wounded, when we're attacked, when we're betrayed, when we're abandoned, when we feel this in our lives, it ultimately impedes our ability to perform and to function fully. It permeates the area of our lives. My wound causes everyone to focus on me instead of focusing on the mission. The focus now becomes inward rather than what I was here to do. Are you with me this morning? If the cross was just about forgiveness, I would walk around forgiven, but still bleeding, still wounded. There's something whole. So after the wound, after the death, the question is, will you rise or will you stay dead? Because we look at the cross and we go, Jesus went to the cross so that I don't have to. Jesus went to the cross so that salvation was accessible to us, but we've got to go to the cross to be transformed. The cross didn't inform us, it transforms us. We've got to take things to the cross. So last week I challenged all of us in the room. Really, the way we ended service was I said, hey, there are some of you who are walking around and you're wounded and you're walking around and you've been betrayed and there's something dying and there's something that you need to bring to the cross. There's some sort of hurt or pain that we need to bring to the cross to allow God to heal. But my question for you this morning that I wanted to look at just for a few brief moments we have together is, how do I know, truly know, if I've been resurrected? How do I know if I've really been resurrected? Let me ask you this. Can you be bleeding and breathing at the same time? Yes. You see, most of us have confused survival with resurrection. Most of us have confused the fact that I'm breathing means that I'm resurrected. Because what we hear preached today, we've mistaken this whole message, this whole get up message. This whole popular, just dust off the dirt, dust off your shoulders, get up. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he what? He gets up. And so because we have this one-dimensional view of this get up message, when something kills us, we try to resurrect ourselves. If I could just get up, I'm just gonna get up. And what happens is we stand up before we've ever been resurrected, and we're just walking around and we're bleeding everywhere. We're bleeding everywhere. Jesus himself couldn't resurrect himself. Jesus couldn't resurrect himself. So if Jesus couldn't do it, you can't either. Think about this. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This will tell you. I can see some of you are like, you're like bending my theology right now, Pastor. What are you talking about? I'm going to give you some truth. Here it comes. Are you ready? Brace yourselves. Romans 8, 11 says what? The Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. The Spirit of God who did what? Who raised Jesus from the dead. Not the Jesus that raised Jesus from the dead. But the Spirit of God had to raise Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit had to resurrect Jesus. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by his same Spirit living in you. You see, the trauma was so great. The wounds were so deep that Jesus couldn't get up himself. And so we've looked at it and we've said, listen, and I talked about this a bit last week about the disciples weren't there going, hey, Jesus, get up, I got you. See, the disciples couldn't resurrect Jesus either. This is something that only the power of the Holy Spirit could do. The Holy Spirit could only resurrect Jesus. The only thing that can resurrect you isn't you. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. People who've tried to resurrect themselves, they're easy to spot because just follow the blood trail. They're bleeding everywhere. They've masked it thinking that their loud voice about how healed they want you to think they are will distract you from the mess that's on the floor. They need healing and resurrection that can only come from what? The Spirit. So here's the challenge. Are you ready for this? Because Jesus actually gives us this beautiful template. This beautiful template on how we can be filled. Because before I can be filled, I have to be emptied. So what were Jesus's final words when he hung on the cross? He would actually say this. Are you ready for this? Luke 23, 46. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus' dying words were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus had to completely empty himself before he could be filled with the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus had to empty himself, friend, you need to empty yourself. You need to empty yourself. But what's begun to happen is the wounds begin to allow these things to leak out. We're wondering why we don't stay filled. We just got to heal that wound so that that power, that spirit, can be filled. There's the choice. Jesus yielded himself. He yielded his spirit to God the Father as he yielded his body to death on the cross. This shows us that Jesus gave up his life. Jesus isn't a victim we should pity, but a conqueror we should admire. How do I resurrect? I've got to realize I can't resurrect myself, because if I do, I've gotten this whole get up message backwards, and I'm breathing, but I'm bleeding. I'm not healed. I want you to think I am, but to excuse the mess that's on the floor. And I can only be resurrected if I allow the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to fill me and to breathe life into me. Are you with me this morning still? You can't even be filled with the Holy Spirit if it wasn't for the cross. It wasn't until after Jesus went to the cross, he was crucified, he was resurrected, he reappears to the disciples that we ever even get this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this Acts 2 experience that happens in the upper room. There was no outpouring of the Holy Spirit until the cross took place. So without the cross, you didn't even got the Holy Spirit. He left the Holy Spirit to dwell among us, to live on the inside of us after he left, to bring things into what? Remembrance. Remembrance of the truth that he had spoken. It was the emptying of himself and then the filling of the Holy Spirit that renewed Jesus. So after we've been emptied, and then we allow the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to come inside of us, the Holy Spirit fills us to renew us. Now let me show you this. Matthew chapter 9. Are you still with me? Matthew chapter 9. Very familiar portion of scripture. But I want to show you just how the Bible just paints this beautiful picture. The cross, the filling of the Holy Spirit, it resurrects us to renew us. Matthew 9, 16, 17 would say this. Jesus at the wedding banquet, he would say, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine. Everybody say new wine. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Now just hang with me for a second, because I believe what God is wanting to do in us today, what God is wanting to do, what God is wanting to fill us with so that we can be resurrected, not just get up and bleeding, but made whole, but made new, but not just new, but renewed. It's going to take the filling power and the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. So listen to this. In this scripture, in this story, when Jesus would speak of new wine, that word new would be a word called neos. Everybody say neos. Now this isn't neo like the Matrix, but this is neos. Now it means something completely different. Something brand new, something fresh, something not derived from the old, but brand new. So he's saying, I want to fill you. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to resurrect you, it's going to be something brand new. But then he gives us a statement in verse 17. He says, new wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Jesus is expressing the importance of the vessel that he is filling. So get this. When he talks about new wine, it's neos, it's something brand new. But then when he speaks about new wine skins, that word new is actually a completely different word in the original text. It's kainos. And kainos means renewed, not completely new. And so what God is wanting to do in us is he's wanting to pour this fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit where this resurrection power rests, and ultimately he wants to renew us. Do you know how they renew wineskins? When they renew a wineskin, they actually turn it inside out. Then they take all this oil and they lather it all up, and then they begin to press it in and press it in and press it in. And they stretch it to a new capacity so that it can fill something new. They actually take what was old and they renew it. They flip it inside out. So the reason why God wants to renew you, the resurrection power of the cross is to renew you, is to bring you back. To renew is to bring back to the original design. Well, Jesus would say, God would say that we are made in whose image? His image. So the actual resurrection power that is able to fill us, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, actually brings us back, renews us back to the original design with the original set of purpose. All things are made new, but they're actually renewed because this is what Jesus had all along. Are you getting this morning? So he's got something that he wants to pour into us, this new wine, this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to renew us, to put us back on mission, back to reaching the world, back to loving again, forgiving again, trusting again, confident again, bringing life again. not to become somebody new, but to come back to your original design. As the rest of the band joins me, Galatians 2, verse 20 would say, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's no longer I who live. You see, Jesus went through the cross and betrayal killed him, and then he was abandoned. Then he had to empty himself of what was in himself. He couldn't resurrect himself, but the Holy Spirit had to come and resurrect him. And that very same thing is we're all going to have to go through the cross of betrayal, the cross of abandonment, the cross of hurt, the cross of pain, and we're going to have wounds that are going to bleed. But my question to you is, are you standing and breathing but bleeding? Or are you healed and resurrected? But the only way that you can never be resurrected is you have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. Will you empty yourself so that the resurrection power of the cross can fill you? Will you allow him to renew you, to bring you back to your original design? Do you believe that the cross is enough? If I'm resurrected by the Holy Spirit, it removes all trauma, all damage, all wounds. I'll be able to remember it, but it won't hurt anymore. There'll be no more pain. Jesus resurrected couldn't be hurt by betrayal again, couldn't be wounded again. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be resurrected, to be renewed, to where what once caused us so much pain now doesn't hurt anymore. Because I've been resurrected. I'm not just standing. I'm resurrected. I'm renewed. You know, some of you know this, some of you don't. 6 and change years ago, we had the joy of being parents for the first time. And our son, Landon, who's absolutely amazing, what would happen as he got older, he was developing like a normal, whatever normal is, kid, and was walking and was talking, and there was this day that took place where his speech began to regress. I'm sorry, y'all. And there was an attack on his life, was his ability to communicate. It's been a long time since I've cried, I'm sorry. There was an attack on his life, his ability to communicate, which as a dad is tough to admit, tough to experience. And I remember when we were walking through that with him, and they put him in for a test. And when he was 2 years old, they put him in for a test, and they said, we can't really explain what's going on. His speech is regressing, and words that he used to be able to say, he can't say anymore. And they did these tests on him. They said, your kid really doesn't have an imagination. He would just stare at these toys and didn't know what to do with them. And I remember so much watching him feeling so helpless. Nothing more than you want to do as a dad than help your son. There was no way that I could help. All I could do was pray. All I could do was love him. And I'll never forget one day. Don't worry, I'm going somewhere with this. It ties into my message. I'll never forget one day of laying in the floor with him. At that time, I was the worship pastor of our Gwinnett campus. And there was this song that we're going to sing here in just a second. And it was called Resurrecting. And I remember laying in the floor with him. The kid can barely put two words together. And he rolls over and he looks at me and he smiles. And he says, "By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me." Remember, I just laid there. And my son, who could barely put three words together, just began to sing in virtually almost as clear language as I just gave to you right now. And I truly believe that he began to prophesy out of his little two-year-old self. If you met my son now, you'd laugh if he said, like, this kid doesn't have an imagination. The other day, he held up the cape to a superhero thing. He said, "Dad, get behind him, I'm gonna make you disappear." And the cape only came like to right here. I was like, it's by his spirit that we'll rise. Because the one who's already been resurrected has the ability to resurrect you this morning. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Will you stand to your feet? Listen, I'm gonna close literally quickly in these next 3 minutes. But I want us just to sing this bridge, this real simple bridge. The band's gonna play it. And I just want you to begin to prophesy. Thank you so much. I want you just to begin to prophesy right now. Whatever that hurt is, whatever that pain is of betrayal, that you're not walking around bleeding anymore. But I believe today is your day of resurrection. Amen. Come on, can we sing this out? By your spirit.
By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat.
Come on now.
Your resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory.
Your
resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat.
Resurrected King is resurrected.
Yes, Jesus. I truly believe.